If you would, grab a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 is where we'll be centering our study for the time that we have together tonight. Luke chapter 11. What a great set of songs for us to prepare our minds to open God's Word and to think about the way God interacts with us and blesses us and the things that we need from God, how we interact with Him in prayer. That is our goal. That is our subject for this evening. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking time to be here tonight. We have a number of visitors with us. We're thankful that you're here. It says a lot about you that you have chosen to be here, of all the places you can be and all the things you could be doing tonight. And I appreciate that because of what it says about you and your respect and honor for God. And in particular, I want to say, if we can take time tonight to sort of block out all the things that we have going on, we all have our to-do lists. We all have things that we're going to be doing tomorrow. We're all kind of worn out from the day. We've had interactions today. We've had things that are on our minds. If we can just leave those aside for a few minutes and listen at the feet of Jesus, it will be a blessing to us. So let's do that as we read here Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke 11 and verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." So the text reads as if the disciples are watching Jesus pray in verse 1. He is praying in a certain place, and there is something that is so dramatic about Jesus' prayer life. Perhaps as the apostles have watched him day after day, as they see how he interacts with God, how he takes time to pray, sometimes getting up very early so they don't know where he is, sometimes sending them away across the Sea of Galilee while he goes to a deserted place to pray by himself, that they want to know, teach us how to pray like you pray. That's what I want to do. They understand that Jesus has a unique relationship with God, and they want a part of that. They want to know, how can we be like you? John taught his disciples to pray. Will you teach us to pray? And so Jesus goes through this prayer that is an example prayer of some of the things that should be the subject of our prayers. And he tells a story we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And then he says in verse 9, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Ask, he says, seek, knock. Jesus encourages us, this is how you pray. This is what you need to know about prayer. This is how you should think about what God wants you to do when you pray. And we need this because for you and me, we live in a world that is skeptical of prayer. We live in a world that says prayer really doesn't matter. Prayer is just about you feeling better, but it's certainly not about changing anything. We live in a world where people regularly cast aspersions on prayer and the God who we address in prayer. But not only that, it seems to me that Christians struggle with prayer because very often we ask God for things and then we don't receive them. And so we wonder, well, what went wrong? Am I praying wrong? Is there an issue here? Can I do better with prayer? And so we keep coming back to these texts because we want to know, what is prayer supposed to look like? How is this supposed to work? And we have a treasure here, because in this text, Jesus is telling us, Jesus, the Son of God Himself, this is what prayer should look like. Jesus knows what God thinks about prayer, because Jesus is God. And Jesus knows how people should be thinking about prayer, because Jesus is also a man. And He bridges that gap for us and teaches us this is what your life in Christ, in God, should look like. And so I want us to think for a few minutes about how we ask and seek and knock. What can we learn about prayer from this text? First, we learn a very simple idea. God wants us to ask. God wants us to ask. Jesus says this over and over again. Look again at the prayer he offers in verse 2. Beginning in verse 2, Luke 11, 2. He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come." So he begins with this prayer for honor for God. Hallowed be your name. You are holy. You are separate. You are different. Your kingdom come, the will of God, the purposes of God, the mission of God. But then he makes requests. Verse 3, Give us this each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. He says, if we're going to pray, you need to make requests of God. You need to ask, because there are things you need. Particularly, there are physical needs and there are spiritual needs. There is a need for forgiveness. There is a need for guidance. And he says, when you talk to God, ask him. Yes, take time to pray honor to God. Take time to understand your place before God. But when you pray, don't forget to ask for what you need. He tells a parable that we'll come back to in a minute. But again, look at verse 9. And I want you to just see how often this idea is repeated. Verse 9, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So it's the same idea repeated three times with three different words, isn't it? Ask and seek and knock are all saying the same thing. God wants us to ask him for the things we need. And then, as if we haven't gotten the point yet, look at verse 10. In verse 10, he says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. So, yes, now we are at six times, if you're counting at home, six times Jesus has said the same thing. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks it will be open. Over and over again, Jesus says, ask, ask, ask. And I am not overstating the case to say that this idea is all over the pages of the New Testament. I just want you to, I'm going to put these passages on the board. And if you're taking notes, you want to write these down and study them out later, that would be fine. We're not going to go into in-depth in each of these contexts. I just want you to see how often the New Testament encourages us to ask God for things. Now, I'm not even going to bring up the parallel reading of this text over in Matthew chapter 7. I guess I did just bring it up, but we're not going to put it on the board. Matthew 18 and verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Ask, and it will be done. Matthew 21, 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Ask and receive. John 14, and verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Ask and receive. John 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask and receive. You did not choose me, he's speaking to the apostles here. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Ask and receive. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Ask and receive. 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Ask and receive. 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Ask and receive over and over again. How many ways can God tell us one thing? God wants us to ask. So, asking says something about us and our view of God. What asking does is it forces us to admit that we can't get the things we need on our own. We need somebody else to give them to us. And so asking becomes a humility issue. This is the reason why asking seems to be particularly difficult for men. There's that old joke about asking for directions, asking for help in any form. It means, doesn't it, that I don't know what I'm doing. I can't figure it out. I'm lost. I need help. And so, when we refuse to ask, what we're saying is, nope, I'm going to do it myself. God wants us to ask because in asking, we are admitting, I need help. Leave your finger or your marker here in Luke 11. We'll come back in just a moment. But I want you to go with me over to James chapter 4. James 4. James 4, beginning in verse 1, James asks a very interesting question, a question that really should be one that we are asking. He says in verse 1, James 4, 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So first of all, James asks the question, why do we fight? And the answer to the question, why do we fight, is because there are things that we want and we end up thinking that we have to go get them. And so we do whatever it takes to get the things that we want. But he says very simply in verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. God wants us to ask because we are acknowledging He is the source of the things that we need. But there is another step in James's wording. Look in verse 3. In verse 3, he says, you ask and do not receive. You see how that's different from everything we've been reading? Ask and receive, ask and receive, ask and receive. Here he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. This is something else that comes into the picture. Now, God is saying, sometimes He's going to scan our prayers for motive. Why are you asking for this? Why do you want this? Why is this such a big deal to you? And He says, if it's only to be spent on our passions, then God may not just give us whatever we're seeking. So, it introduces the idea that prayer is a test. Prayer is a test of what it is that's really going on in our hearts. Am I seeking my own pleasures and passions and then trying to involve God in getting what I want so that God's just a lever in the sky to get me all the blessings I think I deserve? And James says, no wonder you don't get what you're seeking. God knows what you're really after. But I want you to think about this idea of prayer as a test. I want you to go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3 for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 3, because this is a very powerful way in which asking exposes the heart. And it's a story about how that can happen. 1 Kings chapter 3. What happens in 1 Kings chapter 3 is that the young man Solomon is now king. His dad has died. And yet Solomon is just beginning. He doesn't know exactly how to do this king thing. He's seen his dad, but it's a totally different deal when you're the one in charge. And so God appears to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Ask what I shall give you. That's a test for Solomon, isn't it? What's he going to ask for? God says, everything's on the table. You tell me what you want. And the way this story reads, Solomon could have had anything he wanted in this moment. God opens the doors of the treasure rooms of heaven and says, take your pick. And so in verse 10, verse 9. Solomon says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? And it says in verse 10, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. And God not only gives him, of course, the wisdom that he asked for, but he gives him all these other things too. He blesses him beyond, because in this test, Solomon passes. God says, ask, what shall I give you? And what Solomon says is, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a child. I don't know how to rule these people. I need your help. So if I can have anything, Father, I want your help. Solomon passes the test. But I want you to think about another scene that's very different. Do you remember the scene in which Herodias' daughter dances and pleases Herod and all those who are his guests at his party? And Herod makes what was almost certainly a drunken promise. Ask what I shall give you, up to half my kingdom. That's a test, too. But it's a different kind of test for that young woman because she is a different kind of character than Solomon does in this moment. She doesn't even know what to ask. Can you imagine if a king said to you, "What do you want? You can have anything, up to half my kingdom." What would you ask for? She doesn't even know what to ask for. She goes and talks to her mom. And her mom, this is just a sign of how wicked she was, the best thing she can think of to ask for is for someone to die. Bring me John the Baptist's head on a platter. Do you see what's happening here? The request is the same. Ask, ask, ask. What's being tested here is the character of the person who's doing the asking. See, with prayer, we think that prayer is a test of God. But these passages show us that prayer is a test of us. Are we just asking God for things to spend on our own pleasures? God wants us to ask. But in that request, we see and learn who we are and what we're seeking. God wants us to ask. And He has opened to us the treasures of the throne room of heaven and said, "What do you want? Ask and receive." But in doing so, He presents us with a test. Just what sorts of things will we ask Him for and why? Let's go back to Luke chapter 11. The second thing I want us to see from this text is that God wants us to ask persistently. See, the problem with asking and seeking and knocking is that we can easily give up. If we do it once and we don't get what we've asked for, we don't get what we've sought, we don't get what we knocked the door on, we begin to think, well, maybe nobody's home. Maybe the problem is whoever I'm asking is not paying attention. And we begin to doubt. And so Jesus tells some stories that help us to see the need for persistence in our prayers. Look in verse 5 of Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 5, it says, "And He said to them, which of you has a friend? Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." So, ask is in this context, by the way. The next verse is, "I tell you, ask," verse 9. Ask is in the context of persistence. And he tells the story of a friend who needs something and goes to his neighbor. And he says specifically, even though they're friends, he's not going to get out of bed because they're friends. It's not the relationship that makes this man act. It is instead the impudence or persistence of this person. And he says that specifically. Verse 8, "Though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will." Jesus is saying, that's the way you need to ask and seek and knock. In such a way that even if you didn't have this relationship with God, you would be persistent enough that you would show God how desperately you need this. God doesn't just want us to ask once and forget about it, to knock on the door and then walk away. He says, ask and seek and knock persistently. Be like that man who needs something so much that he won't go away. Now turn a few pages over to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. This is a companion parable to the one we just read. It's very similar. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." So the parable we're about to read, that's the point of it. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. That has some implications to it, doesn't it? It implies that we might be tempted to lose heart because of prayer. And there might be occasions in which we are tempted to stop praying. And Jesus is saying, here is a story that will help you keep praying persistently. Now, verse 2. "He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?'" You see how the judge is like the neighbor? The neighbor who won't get out of bed? The judge is the same way. Here's a widow. She needs justice. She comes to the judge. And the judge is a bad guy. He says, I don't fear God. I don't respect man. There's nothing about my office and my role that makes me want to do anything for this woman. The only thing that makes him act is that she is going to wear me out with her continual coming. She is too persistent. And so she gets what she's seeking because she is persistent. Please understand that in these stories, Jesus is not teaching us that God only responds to nagging. That is not the idea. He is telling us if people who have a relationship and don't care enough about the relationship to help are still moved by persistence, how much more is God? And that's what Jesus applies it to in verse 6 and 7 there, isn't it? He says, that's the way the Lord works. Do you think the Lord is going to delay over his people when they cry to him? Do you think God doesn't care? We know that God is far above these characters in these stories. If these people will still move because of persistence, how much more will God? I'm struck about how much more is revealed about prayer by persistence than it appears on the surface. Continuing to ask is a faith step. It is a desperation step. You read these stories in the Gospels. One of my favorite stories is the story of Bartimaeus, the blind man, who hears this great crowd and he learns that Jesus is passing by. So he starts crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people tell him to be quiet. And the text says, but he cried out all the more, which I take to mean he got louder. They try to keep him quiet. But when you have a desperate need, you don't keep quiet. Even when people tell you to, you ignore them and you go after what you need. Or the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter is demon possessed. And she is nagging the disciples so much that they tell Jesus, can you send her away? And then she has to have some verbal banter with Jesus where Jesus essentially calls her a dog. And she finally, through her persistence, and she is a dogged woman, she finally gets the blessing she's seeking for her daughter. That's what desperation does for us. Desperation says, I cannot accept no for an answer. I need it too badly. When we ask persistently, that's what we're telling God. God, this isn't a passing fancy. This isn't something that just popped into my head, and oh, that would be nice. I need this. I am desperate. I am hungry for it. It is my passion. And God wants us to pray like that because that too is a test. And it separates the wheat from the chaff in our requests. My wife wasn't able to be here tonight. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. When I asked Sarah out for the first time, she said no. She will tell you, if you go talk to her, that I wasn't clear. I object to that. I don't think that's true. But anytime you take a step like that, and we were good friends, and you kind of get shut down, you're wounded, heartbroken, befuddled. And so I mourned my loss for a little while. And the next day I asked her out again. And she said yes. Because I wasn't going to be deterred so easily. Persistence shows our hearts. Persistence shows what we really care about. And if we are determined and we're convinced we need something, then we're not going to give up on it. That's what Jesus is telling us. Look back with me in Luke chapter 11. There is something else I want to say about this before we move from this point. It's in Luke 11 and verse 9. In Luke 11 and verse 9, the text says, And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. I believe there is also a truth here that's not just about prayer, but is about seeking truth itself. That if we are seeking the truth, we're going to find it. That God is not going to allow us to seek truth and seek it with all our hearts and then still be confused and still be in the dark. Seek it, he says, and you'll find. But sometimes that seeking requires persistence. Have you ever had a Bible topic that you said, you know what, I really want to study that and get to the bottom of that and figure out just what exactly the Bible teaches about that? And then you never did? I've got a list of those. I was talking to Bruce about one of them tonight at dinner. What would we say about that? We would say, well, I want to know, but I don't really want to know that bad. That's what we would say. Seek and find. Seeking truth is going to require a determination. That's what Jesus is after. Ask and seek and knock, but don't give up when you don't get it immediately. Because there is a blessing in persistence. The third thing I want us to see from this text is that God wants to bless us. Verse 9. Luke 11 and verse 9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So Jesus tells us, if you want to know what God is thinking when you pray, think about a father. A father wants to give good gifts to his children. That's what fathers do. Fathers love their children. They want to hear from them. They want to know what their children want. And they want to give them something that's going to be good for them. And he says, God is like that, except for a couple of things that are important. Except, Jesus says, verse 13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. See, God is not evil the way humans can be. And so God is not limited by that, not limited by any poor motivation. And the other thing is that human fathers are limited by what we can give. We're limited by the budget, what's available, what we can acquire, what would be good for our children. We're limited by all of those things. God has no limits like those. God's going to do what's best for us. And as I've said earlier, the throne room of heaven is open. God wants to bless us. And he says, think of it like a father who would never, when his child asks for a blessing, give him something that would harm him. He asks for a fish, something to eat, and instead he gives him a snake, something that's going to hurt him. Verse 13 now. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He says that God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. God has promised the Holy Spirit to His children. And remember, as you read that, that the Holy Spirit is a blessing from God. It is a part of God that will then become a part of us. The Holy Spirit, the New Testament teaches, indwells believers. The Holy Spirit is how God has revealed His will to us. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives. But all of this, I believe, is intended not just to give us a dissertation on the Holy Spirit and His work, but to say simply, God is a giving God. He wants to give. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Spirit. He's given us everything we need. Ask Him because He wants to bless you. It's at this point, though, that I believe I need to say something about the relationship component and its effect on prayer. When Jesus says that God's a Heavenly Father and that we're His children, that implies a relationship. And that prayer is a function of that relationship. Because we have a relationship with God, we can ask and expect to receive. We're children, He's a Father. I am confident that God blesses all people, whether they are in a covenant relationship with Him through Jesus or not. Jesus says God sends rain and sun on the just and the unjust. God blesses all people. But when we talk about what it means to be a Christian and the blessings that Christians have in prayer, we have to understand that many of those blessings hinge on the idea that I am willing to live in obedience to my Father. And so I want to show you a few passages here on the board that stress this point about a relationship. Jesus says in John 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We talked about the last part of that verse earlier. But it is all contingent on the idea that we're going to abide in Jesus. And we want his words to abide in us. 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. You see how those two things link together. Prayer and obedience are two sides of the same coin. So if we want the blessings that come with being able to ask and receive, we need to be people who are obeying Jesus. 1 John 5:13 and 14, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we believe in the name of the Lord. And so we have those blessings in prayer. James 1, verses 5 to 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And he doesn't ask, he gives. That's a typo. That was my bad. And it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You see how faith is a component of prayer. He says, ask without doubting, with faith. Jesus is telling us, James is telling us, John is telling us that God wants to bless us. But it may be that part of what is an issue in prayer is that if God were to bless me, he would be blessing his enemy. If God were to bless me and give me what I was asking for, then I would just take it and use it against him. How would God be good if I opposed him and then asked him for things and he kept giving them to me? Things that were for my detriment, encouraging me in my rebellion. So God wants to bless us, but at the end of the day, God wants everyone to ask. I'll be honest, that all preaches pretty easy. But there's an elephant in the room about prayer. And we can look at those ideas and listen to Jesus' teaching and say, yes, that's true. That's all true. But the issue with prayer is, why do we sometimes not get the things that we ask for? Now, I've mentioned part of that may have to do with the relationship idea. If I'm living in rebellion against God, I have mentioned part of that may have to do with my motives. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. But, you know, even when we've accounted for those things, we still have to admit that there are times we ask God for things and he says no. Things that we need, maybe things we ask persistently for, and that we may never even know why. The effect of that can be very discouraging. It can make us hesitant in our prayers. Doubting. We begin to say, well, I don't know if this would work. We begin to use words like the world uses. There's nothing we can do now except pray. As if prayer is a last resort. Sometimes in moments where we really need something from God, it seems safer to just trust ourselves that I can take care of it. If anything needs to be done, I'll just have to do it myself. Because I can't rely on God. He's risky, like we talked about yesterday. I'm not sure what he'll do. But can I suggest that maybe what's going on when Jesus teaches us about prayer is that God is trying to teach us something and not just give us things? That God might be interested in our character and not just what we enjoy, not just our comfort? What if, for example, God wants us to focus on the giver and not just all his gifts? Because we certainly tend to do that. We focus on when things are good, how things are good, and how good they are. And very rarely on the God who made them good. As I worked through this text, I kept waiting for the explanation, the thunderbolt. Surely Jesus would give us an answer about why God would not answer prayer or why God would tell us no. And then I came to realize that maybe that is the answer. Because it's certainly not that Jesus doesn't know that God sometimes says no in prayer. Do you know that when God tells us no in prayer, we join a mighty company? Men like David, Jesus himself, Paul, who were told by God, no. Faithful men, praying prayers of faith, and God says no. That's not a new thing. That's not something only you and I experience. That is something that is a part of the whole Bible story. I would say it's not just the elephant in this room, it's the elephant in the Bible. Why does God sometimes let their prayers go unanswered, even though they are righteous people asking for righteous things? And I think that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, with all of that information, ask and seek and knock. Because at the end of that discussion, there's still going to be things we need. And we've still got to be willing to come to God with the full understanding that God's going to do whatever He wants. That God's going to do, in fact, whatever is best for me. And that I have to ask in faith anyway. Have you ever had this happen? Someone got sick. You name the disease. You pray and you pray. And they don't get better. What's the temptation the next time you hear about that disease? You think, I don't know if prayer does any good on that one. Someone loses their faith, walk away from the Lord, and you pray, God, bring something into their life, change their heart, soften them, work on them. And nothing happens, at least nothing you can see. What's the temptation the next time somebody walks away? Is to say, well, I'm not sure prayer can do anything about that. The temptation is that we give up on prayer and we quit asking and we quit seeking, we quit knocking. And that is precisely what Jesus is teaching us. That men ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's the point. Ask and seek and knock anyway. Don't quit. And I would add, it might help us to remember all the times, God says yes. Have you thought about it? Have you thought about your daily prayers? Each night, I pray over my children. And I pray for God to take care of these children and to watch over us through the night. I have a child who's 11 and one who's 9 and one who's 7. That's a lot of prayers. Do you know how many times God has said yes? Over and over and over again. How many times have you prayed for the preacher to have a ready recollection of the things he's prepared? And it usually happens, right, Bruce? Maybe a few times that one's been told no. How many times have we prayed for God to guide, guard, and direct us? Even though guide and direct mean the same thing. How many times? And does God do it? Bring us back at the next appointed time. Does He do it? Yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. How many times do we ask God, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies? How many times does God answer our prayers? How many times do we say, God, forgive us of our sins? How many times does He say yes? How many times do we ask Him to open doors for the gospel? And He says yes. How many times do we ask Him to heal or to be with the doctors? And He says yes. Over and over again. Yes, yes, yes. God, over and over, is pouring out blessings on us. And the one time He says no, we say, how could this be? How can we miss it? It might help us to say, thank you, Father, for saying yes so much. Jesus teaches us that the heart of a relationship with God in prayer is ask and seek and knock. Don't quit praying. Would you pray with me about that? Our God and Father in heaven, we are so thankful to you. You are a good God. You are so good to us. You bless us each day and each minute of life, Father. We're thankful, Father, for your Son, Jesus, who you sent to earth to become a man, to live among us and to show us your glory and to teach us about you, and ultimately to die for us. Father, we rejoice in the sacrifice that he offered for our sins, that we can stand right before you, even though we are unrighteous in ourselves, that we can call you our Father, and that we know you here. Father, we are so thankful for this blessing. I pray that you'll help us in our prayers, Father. Help us to be people who are willing to ask you, to reach out in faith. Help us to ask persistently, not to give up, just because sometimes we don't see the results of our praying immediately. And Father, help us to see how much and how often you answer our prayers for good. Father, help us to be a people who trust you and who are not afraid to reach out. Help us to not stop praying. We need your help, Father, each day. And we ask that you'll be with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to close our service tonight by offering the invitation. This is a time that we have set aside where we want to sing a song. And as we sing that song, we're intending to encourage anyone who's present among us who needs to make a response to what God has done for us in Jesus. The New Testament teaches that God sent his Son to become a man, that he lived a perfect, sinless life, and that he offered himself for us on the cross in the ultimate act of love to take our sins away so that we could be reconciled to God. The God that we turned our back on to do our own will now have us back because of Jesus. And if you are ready to become a disciple of Jesus and to be reconciled to God, you can do that tonight by turning away from your sins and deciding, I'm going to live a different life now because I want to follow Jesus. And you're willing to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah that God promised, the Son of God. You can be baptized into Christ tonight, have your sins washed away. You can leave this building rejoicing in a new relationship with God. If there is any need that you have that we can help you with, please come to the front right now as we stand and sing to encourage you.